You say, that's a sin, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing not to walk in love, because you know that's God's will. It's a dangerous thing to hold strife and unforgiveness. It's a dangerous thing not to trust God. These are all sins. Not trusting God is a sin, because unbelief is a sin. The Bible calls it wicked and evil. There are some common things and some, I'm going to say, some basic things that everybody ought to have as a foundation. Amen? Amen. There are some basic truths that we all have to agree on for there to be unity in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. All right, so when we strive for unity in the body of Christ, and specifically in this church body, when we start striving for unity and we want to be on one accord with one mind, with one heart, striving together for the faith of God. I'm going to teach on unity sometime, where we got to all be unity, but we have to be unified in the doctrine that we believe, what we believe out of the Bible, that there's some basic things that ought to join us all together. Amen. All right, one of them is the love of God. Everybody in here should be striving to walk in love. We should all be in agreement that love is the best way, right? There shouldn't be no wavering from anybody in here saying, well, I don't believe in the love walk. There shouldn't be anybody in this church don't believe in walking in love. Because if we don't all believe in that, then we don't have unity in our body. Right? We ought to all agree that holding unforgiveness is a sin. We ought to be unified in that. Amen? We ought to all be striving for unity and peace and being on one accord. We're going to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's how you keep peace in a congregation. That's how you keep peace in your family. That a family had to all believe just alike, and they'd believe according to the will of God, according to the Word. Now, I'm not talking about a bunch of foolishness, but I'm talking about a family need to come together and say, hey, this is the will of God. We all going to agree that this is God's will, and this is what we're going to do as a family. And that may be different for everybody, because everybody's family got a different assignment. But at least the family ought to come together on some basic things and say, now, we're going to all agree for there to be unity in that home. We have to all agree that, hey, talking back is not acceptable. Amen. Children sassing, it's not acceptable. Everybody had to agree to that. Amen. Amen. Husbands and wives have to come in agreement that they're going to walk in love with one another, that love is going to rule the day. If not, then you see the devil got a crack. He finds a place to get in because there's no unity there. If we're going to have one heart and one mind, then we have to be united on what we believe. And then we had to be united in what we say we're going to do together. Glory to God.
Glory to God in the highest.
Glory to God.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
we come from.
God says in his word, Romans 13:7, that we as Christians must give honor to whom honor is due. In January 2014, we, the ministry staff and co-laborers in the gospel, will honor our man of God, Dr. John Montgomery.
You recognize that if you're going to deal, dwell, or be anywhere God is, you're going to be required to change your life.
In recognition of his 25th year of pastoral service, ministry, and leadership at our church, community, his city, state, and nation, Dr. Montgomery's silver anniversary will be celebrated the entire month of January. This month-long celebration will culminate on Monday, January 24th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Greater King David Baptist Church Multicultural and Educational Center, 222 Blount Road, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Dr. Montgomery has truly been a blessing to so many near and far. Join us in exhibiting grand love and support for our great and deserving leader. Your words of kindness, fellowship, and gifts of love will be appreciated. No gift is too small, and certainly no gift is too large. We pray multitudinous returns on your gift. Please send all gifts to Dr. John Montgomery, care of Reverend Daniel Smith, 911 Lodell Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Make all checks payable to Dr. John Montgomery. For additional information on exciting events for Dr. Montgomery, phone 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577.
We come from this far back.
Glory to God.
Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come,
worthy. Come on, lift your voices this morning.
For he alone is worthy.
Come on. God, our Heavenly Father, now as we turn our attention to your word, allow the Spirit of truth to meet us in the text, tailor the truth we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might hear what you have to say. And then, God, impart power to practice the principles so that we might profit from them and be ever so careful to give you the praise. It is in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. From the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, and I want to look at verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For the word says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and to the hearers of his holy word. For just a little while, I'm going to speak from the subject, Christmas just isn't Christmas without Christ. Christmas, tell your neighbor if you don't mind, Christmas just isn't Christmas without Christ. Now, of course, you know it is a paraphrase from the secular song that says, "Christmas just ain't Christmas without the one you love." And I want to say just from the onset that Christmas just ain't Christmas without the one who loved you best. And certainly the Bible is quite clear that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, that whosoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. So it is because of the one who loved us best that we've got this opportunity to celebrate Christmas. In the midst of this Old Testament verse is a word about Christmas. And it teaches us three things. First of all, it teaches us about the wonderful proclamation. The wonderful proclamation. And then this verse teaches us also about the wonderful possession. The wonderful possession. And then thirdly, this verse teaches us about the wonderful person. And I want us to look at this, and as we look at it, let's begin at the beginning, at this wonderful proclamation. For it says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Unto us, historically, us refers to both houses of Israel. It speaks for us to understand not just to the house of Judah, but to both of them, and it refers to us pragmatically today, the believers who look and understand that the gift we have through Jesus Christ is given by God for our blessed benefit. Now, there's some things I want to share with you right quick, because when we look at this proclamation and how wonderful it is, there are three things that, again, is taught in this. There is the doctrine of the proclamation. It says, you know, we have this child, this baby, this is born. When a baby is born, the announcement is a delight to the parents. When Christ was born, there was a joy for the world. The angel said, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." But there's something else that I want you to understand, that there is also the dominion. But look at this. If there is the delight in the proclamation when it talks about the baby, and when there is the dominion of the proclamation or in the proclamation, it makes clear that the government shall be upon his shoulder, which means Christ will one day authoritatively rule and have the responsibility of ruling with judgment and justice. justice, bringing peace to the world, is his responsibility. And so when we understand how this judgment that Jesus brings, this justice that Jesus brings, will ultimately end all wars because he is the Prince of Peace, there are some things that we must understand about why this word is so important, not only historically to Israel, but to every believer today. Again, if you look and you see that all that God offers to those who were chosen originally and they rejected is now made available to whosoever will. That brings us into this opportunistic time of accepting and receiving the greatest gift that God himself could ever or would ever give to the world who has sinned, fallen short, and turned their backs on him. I want you to look at this, my brothers and sisters. First of all, when you look at this word and understand again how the Lord God works this out, let's look at the wonderful possession. Us, unto us, is given. Well, the emphasis is given to us, again, pragmatically and historically to Israel. There is an unmentioned period needed to fulfill the prophecies and to have them manifested called grace. Grace. It's not mentioned by the prophets, but it's understood through the word that the only way that many of the prophecies that the prophets gave would only come to fruition after this thing called grace was introduced. Now, unto us is given a son. Well, this son is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten of God the Father. It suggests here something so important and powerful for us to understand, that he already existed with God, and given here is translated as grace. So when you think about grace, you can say Jesus or Jesus' grace or given grace, which is Jesus Christ. Unto us is given a son. That son who laid down his life and said, no man taketh my life, but I lay my life down. And if I lay it down, I can take it back up again. Let's look on, if you will, my brothers and sisters, at this wonderful person. Because if we miss it all about the person, all of this has been in vain. First of all, wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. There are some who suggest that there are four instead of five names, that wonderful counselor is joined together. And though he is a wonderful counselor, you can say wonderful before each one of them. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a wonderful mighty God. He's a wonderful everlasting Father. He's a wonderful Prince of Peace. He's just wonderful. But listen to this, let's break it down, and hopefully as we get a better understanding of each word and each title, it'll better help us understand the gift that we have. Have you ever gotten a gift and didn't realize how valuable it was until later? You may have opened it up and you didn't really appreciate the fullness of its worth and value at that time because you didn't really understand all that the gift was worth. And because you didn't understand all that the gift was worth, you really didn't appreciate it the way that you should have appreciated. As a matter of fact, God gave us his son and then he gave us his word. And I've got news for you. If you utilize both of them, there is no way you cannot live in this life successfully, authoritatively, and wonderfully victorious in this life and yet the life to come. His son gives us access to the word, but it also gives us authority in the word. So when you begin to understand the power of the gift of Jesus Christ himself and the word that he represents, my God, you can go into this word and access the power of God and recognize that what he's given to you, it is so that you can mount up above every struggle, every trial, every tribulation, every temptation, everything that would tend to bind you and bother you. Because as Jesus is victorious, so are the believers who operate in this word. Wonderful, awesome, wondrous, miraculous, astounding, amazing, listen, phenomenal, unique, curious, strange, wonderful. When you look at this and you look at Jesus, that and a whole lot more applies to him. It's important because there is none like him. Matter of fact, if you just want to really be technical, you can call him Mr. Wonderful. When you really realize how awesome he is and none can compare with him, every person in the Bible before him, everyone who follows after him, all point back to him because he is that wonderful. And you look at two, counselor. A person who counsels, advises, advocates, guides, teaches. He has all the answer. He knows everything about anything. And he knows what we could, would, or will experience in this life and knew it before it happened. And therefore needed not to get in a hurry because he was there all the time. A counselor who knows it from the human perspective as well as from the deity's perspective. One who knows how to counsel us not as with judgment, but with love and compassion. One who understands our flaws, our faults, our mess-ups, our mistakes, and yet loves us enough to counsel us to get back on the right track and receive the fullness of what God offers. He counsels us so that we could get the best out of life and not just to talk about us or to bring us down or to talk about what we've done wrong or to make us feel worse than we already feel. A counselor who says, listen, what you're doing is not of God. Let me show you the way of God. This too shall pass. This life will come to an end. What will you do when you've done what you wanted to do and not what God wanted to do? Where will you spend eternity? And he counsels you with everything. If there's a business decision and you call on him, he'll tell you how many of us have lost money in bad business decisions. But may I suggest to you one of the reasons we may have done that is because we didn't ask him, should we even enter into it? And if we did, how to walk in that? How to deal in that? How to position ourselves? He's a counselor about everything. How many of us have found our situations in dire straits because we waited to get his counsel after we made our decision? You know, many of us, I submit to you, don't want to ask for his counsel before because we want to do what we want to do. And his counsel, we already know, is not going to be different from his word. So if his word says it, I can guarantee you that his counsel will amen it. And so some of us don't want to ask the Lord, Lord, is this the way? When the Lord will say, no, this is not the way. Turn around. I permit U-turns. Go the different way. Go the right way. And so we don't want to ask him because we don't want to do it God's way. But listen, even after we do it our own way and we mess up and we fall short, when we counsel with him, He knows how to brush the tears from our eyes. He knows how to pick us up and hold us in his arms and rock us when we're weary and tell us everything will be all right if we follow him. Well, look at this. I want you to see something else. Mighty God, mighty. Having characterized by or showing superior power or strength of great size, great in amount, in extent, in degree, or importance, listen, exceptionally God, supreme being. As a mighty God, there is none other who can compare to it. And the believer has got to understand, as the mighty God, notice that mighty is so important because there are some little gods, but he is the mighty God. All little gods bow to the mighty. All other gods are permitted to exist because of the mighty God. And Jesus is that mighty God. Look again. Everlasting Father. Everlasting. Eternal. Lasting. Endless. Forever. Everlasting. Father. Listen at this. Because one of the things I want you to see as it denotes a parent to be the creator, the founder, or author, or the original. Jesus Christ is that everlasting Father. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Revelation 1 and 11 says. Why is that important for us to know as well? Because when you begin to realize all that's wrapped up in Jesus, my brother, my sister, you've got something in Jesus. Everything you could ever need, want, or desire is in Jesus. Listen, listen, listen. Prince of Peace, Sovereign King, Ruler, Royalty. Listen, Prince, Prince, the word peace, untroubled, tranquil, content, calm. Prince of Peace. He ain't worried about nobody starting no war with him. That's why he's tranquil. That's why he's unnerved. That's why he's calm and content. Because if he's got all power in his hand, then what is he worrying about the power in anybody else's hand? Listen at this, the Prince of Peace. Why is this so important for the believer? Only through Christ can we have peace that passeth all understanding. Philippians 4:13. He is all that and more than we could ever think or ask for. God's greatest example of his love, grace, mercy, faithfulness, excellence, and almighty power is in his gift to mankind called Jesus Christ. He is truly the gift that keeps on giving. And so when you really begin to wrap your mind around the real reason for the season and realize who Jesus really is, not was, but is today, tomorrow, and forever, when you come into a personal and intimate knowledge, you can see only then that he is the best thing that's ever happened to you. I said he is the best thing that ever happened to you. And so, my brothers and sisters, there's a little poem that I'd like to share with you that says, Christmas without Jesus.